It's lovely to be back with you and sharing in your service. And thank you for the invitation and the warm words of welcome. I do see smiling faces even behind the masks. It's seen in your eyes. It just lights up. But it is good to be with you. Although they're difficult days and strange days, it's wonderful to be able to come and to worship the Lord and to give our thanks for Him. Or to Him, and to study His Word together. And so I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we're going to commence our reading at verse 1. So 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 1. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelitess, a Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, Shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, Pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. And skipping across there to verse 18, those verses just that we're skipping over, the detail just of how David and his men pursued after the Amalekites, and having made battle with them, in verse 18 it says, And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. And David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything that had been taken to them. David recovered all. Amen. We trust God to bless the reading of His Word. Let's just pray. Our Father, we thank You for Your Word this morning, for the blessing that we have of reading it and listening to the preaching of it. We pray, Lord, that You would help each of us, both speaker and listener alike, Father, to be a people that will be open in heart to what You would say to us, open in mind that we might understand, and Father, that we might be obedient, not only hearers of Your word, but doers of it also. We ask You for Your help just now. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. The Word of God is constantly, both in the Old and the New Testament, reminding us of our relationships with one another, the importance of our relationships with one another. It teaches us how we are to act, how we're to react. It instructs us how our attitudes should be, not just to friends and to family, but to all peoples. And from the Ten Commandments through to the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount and so many other places throughout Scripture, Christ is addressing our relationships. And whenever we read through certainly the New Testament epistles, we are instructed as believers, of those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, of how we are to be supportive of one another, how we are to love one another, and how we're to build up one another. And certainly in these days, and in 2020, and the way that it's unfolded, and seems to be carrying on possibly into 2021, you know, so much so are we, it behoves us to be supportive and loving and building up and helping one another. For many folks are struggling in these days through different things. And we see many examples of those instructions regarding relationships in the Word of God. One of which is Paul and Barnabas, whenever they were on their missionary journey, they had gone around, they'd preached the gospel in various towns and cities. God had blessed their ministry. There were those that had been saved, and little churches and house groups had been started up. But having preached then in Derbe, it says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, how they revisited a number of the cities and towns that they'd already been to, and it says there how they strengthened the souls of the believers, and how they exhorted them, and how they tried to encourage them in Christ and in the gospel. Now, in saying all of that, truth be told, we often fail in living up to what God has instructed us and expects in His Word. I fail often as an elder in the church. I fail as a father. I fail as a husband. I fail as a friend. And I'm sure you can identify that with that. I'm not saying that so that we may beat ourselves up about it or that we may start to feel down. But I said just so that we remind ourselves realistically that no matter how good our intentions, we often fail. And we often let people down in our relationships with them, no matter how hard we try. Why? Because we're sinful. We are a broken people, and until we reach heaven, we don't know perfection. We strive to be holy, but we still battle with sin in our lives. And as a result of that, we will fail where we have been instructed. However, when we come to the passage that we're looking at this morning, and specifically the text of 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6, we are reminding ourselves this morning of one that never fails. One that never fails, in contrast to all of our strivings and all of our best intentions. What we are reminded here from this event in David's life that perhaps you're familiar with, perhaps you're not familiar with, we'll look at it in just a wee second. But what we're reminded of here is that David is always looking to his God. Someone recently had given me the little book that Leslie Hutchison has written during the lockdown period. And I think it's advertised in the latest Baptist magazine. And it's about the life and the ministry of Pastor Hugh Orr. And it recounts of the different pastorates that he had in the various churches across the province. But whenever he was inducted into the pastorate in Great Victoria Street, which he had a long-standing relationship with, but in 1957 he was inducted as the pastor of the church. And in his address to the members and to the congregation that day, he says that he did not want them to depend on him for blessing, but to look to God, for it is from him, from God, that blessing will come. And you see, the truth is that while we have a part to play in our relationships with one another, we are constantly reminded in the Word of God not to look to other people for blessing, for strength, for that encouragement. They may be used of God as tools. We may be used of God as instruments in people's lives. That's how He works. But it is always from God. You take, for example, the children of Israel in the Old Testament. They were constantly reminded not to look to their king. Not to put their trust in the king, but to put their trust in God. They were told not to put their trust in the might of their army and the number of people that they had in the army, but they were constantly reminded to put their trust in God. And this is what God reminds us, that we are blessed by other people in our lives. Ultimately, we are to look to our God. And it's very interesting that Matthew read my favorite Psalm, Psalm 121 this morning. I lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And through this little text this morning, and through this event in David's life, we are reminded that we are to look to the Lord. I remember hearing this message, or hearing this text preached on in Bible college over in Edinburgh. In 1991, 1993, it was there. A lot of years ago. But it's always stuck with me. And I've always found myself turning to it time and time again in my own Christian life. And it's that last phrase of it. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Or another translation puts it, but David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. And so let's remind ourselves a little of the situation that we find our text in. David, at this stage of his life, was not king. He had followers, yes. It tells us here that he had 600 men that were following after him. David was a young man, and at this stage of his life, Saul was trying to kill him. He had tried on a number of occasions, seeking after him, and David had wonderfully, by the help of God, escaped from that. And David thought to himself, you know, the only way that I'm going to be able to escape this constant hounding of Saul is to leave the land of Israel. And David decided to go into the land of the Philistines. And so David and the 600 men and their families, they up sticks, as it were, and they left Israel and they moved into the land of the Philistines. Now, they didn't go far. It was bordering on to the south west of Judah, and they just went into the border territory. This is where Ziklag was, into the border territory between Philistine country and Israel. And while he was there, he aligned himself with the son of the king of Gath. And after a while, that guy is called Achish. He decided to give David the city of Ziklag. Very generous of him. Nice gift. But he gave David and his men the city of Ziklag so that they might inhabit it and they might live there. And so they spent about 16 months in the land of the Philistines. And in chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, it tells us that the Philistine lords went up to do battle with Israel again. And in the course of time, then, David, with his 600 followers, 600 men of war, he went up with Achish, who had aligned himself with, to join with the five Philistine lords to fight against the children of Israel. But the Philistine lords weren't happy, because they thought to themselves, in the heat of battle, whenever we go into battle, who knows that maybe David and his men will turn and support the Israelites and support Saul and actually fight against us. And truth be told, that good insight. Because in all probability, David would. Because scripture, you know, as we read through, we're constantly reminded that David wouldn't lift his hand against Saul because he was God's anointed. And so David wouldn't have fought against Saul. He would have turned against the Philistines. And so they were right in what they did. And they sent David and his men back home again. And that's when we enter into the passage that we read together, 1 Samuel chapter 30. David and his men, as they're making this three-day journey back from the battlefield, back to Ziklag, suddenly tragedy, the realization that tragedy had struck while they had been away from home. Perhaps as they travelled over the hillside, suddenly seen the smoke in the distance, from the burning of the city. And they rushed on, and they came into the city, and their fears and their horror was realized when they seen the tragedy of the city that had been sacked, had been burned, and everything that they loved and cared for had been taken away by the Amalekites. And we see something of their grief there in verse 4, where it says, "Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept." Understandably so. Wives, sons, daughters, livelihoods had all been taken. But look what it says. Not only did they lift up their voice and wept, but it says, "Until they had no more power to weep." Now, these were hardened men of war, and yet they were reduced to tears in this tragic circumstances, in this sorrow that they were experiencing, and so much so that it says that they had wept so much that the strength left them. Well, maybe some of you this morning know exactly how they feel. You've been there yourself. You've cried and cried in the midst of heartache or sorrow or tragedy, and cried so much so that the strength has gone from you and the tears have dried in your eyes because there's no more tears to cry. Not only did the tragedy come, but we see here then that there was trouble brewing in verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved or was bitter, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Here were David's men considering stoning their leader because of the sorrow that they were experiencing. And as a result of that, it says here in verse 6 that David was greatly distressed. Are you greatly distressed this morning? Distressed, anxious over the coronavirus? Maybe something else in your life completely so much different from the coronavirus, but something more personal to you, and you're greatly distressed. What does it say? "But David encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord his God." And what does that mean? It doesn't elaborate on it. It doesn't go into any great detail, you know, but as I meditated on this and over the years as I thought about this, you know, there are some things that I have no doubt in believing that David thought about. David knew his God. He knew what his God was like. And in his hour of need, what would David remind himself of? Well, firstly, I believe David would remind himself is that God had not forgotten him. His God had not forgotten him. Here he was in the land of the Philistines. He was away from his home. He was away from his people. He was in an enemy territory. Tragedy had now struck. His wives were taken captive along with all of these other men's families. Everything that he possessed had been taken from him. Surely he might think, "God has forgotten me." Maybe this morning you're thinking to yourself as you listen to the sermon, "You know, sometimes I think God's forgotten me. You know, with all the billions in the world, of the people, with all that's going on in our country, you know, God's just forgotten about little old me." And yet nothing could be further from the truth. And David had every confidence in his God. That God had not forgotten him. The God whom he loved, the God whom he served, knew exactly where he was and knew exactly what had happened. You know, one of the characters of the Old Testament that I love so much is Job. Just so many lessons that we can learn from that great man. You know, Job lost his his family. He lost his wealth. He lost his health. And this grieving and this mourning in his life, it went on for months. And I often think to myself, I wonder, did Job sometimes think, you know, God, have you forgotten about me? But you know, we remind ourselves this morning, don't we, is that just like David reminded himself, God never overlooks anybody. And God never overlooks you. No matter how insignificant or unimportant you might feel this morning, God has not forgotten about you. You know, we often use the expression out of sight, out of mind. Let me tell you this morning that you are never out of God's sight. And you are never out of God's mind. Isaiah chapter 49 verse 15 reminds us, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. David, I believe, was encouraged in his God. Despite where he was, despite what had happened, he reminded himself that God had not forgotten about him. And this encouraged him, this strengthened him in the midst of what he was going through. May it strengthen us this morning in that reminder. Not only that God had not forgotten about him, but I believe that David knew that God had not forsaken him. You know, here were his 600 faithful followers who had followed after him and settled in Ziklag. But neither were on the verge of stoning him. You see, as can often happen, their bitterness of grief and sorrow had turned into anger. And they needed someone to blame, and of course that someone was their leader. That someone was David. And at this moment, in his time of grief as well, in his time of mourning, he was forsaken by his friends, forsaken by his followers. And yet I imagine David going to the Lord and praying to the Lord and pouring out his heart to God and saying, God, they've all forsaken me, but I know you've not forsaken me. Lord, I remember when I was out looking after the sheep of my father's, and Lord, whenever the wild beast came, Lord, you were with me whenever I took the prey that it had out of its mouth and killed it. Lord, I remember whenever I went up against that great giant Goliath, that man of war, and yet, Lord, I as a young youth just went out to battle with him with those stones and that sling, and Lord, you were with me. You didn't forsake me in my time of need. Lord, I remember being in the palace, and then when Saul took one of those wicked mood swings that he took and he lifted up that spear and threw it and just missed me when he hit the wall. Lord, you were with me, preserving me and keeping me. God had never forsaken David before in his life, and David took the encouragement and was strengthened by the fact that he knew that God would not forsake him now. You know, we're reminded, are we not, maybe many of us have it as a bookmark, underlined in our Bibles, text on our walls at home, a lovely verse in Hebrews chapter 13. Well, the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Verse 6 goes on to say, so we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? And whenever I read that, whenever I'm reminded of that lovely promise in God's word, we never become familiarized with it. I will never leave you nor forsake me. I'm often thinking back at the Old Testament to Joshua chapter 1, when Joshua was taking over the leadership of the children of Israel and taking the children into the land of Israel, filling the boots or filling the sandals, as it were, of, of Moses and the great task that he had of, you know, taking over the leadership, but also taking the people into the land to fulfill and to claim the promise that God had given to them, what responsibility lay on his shoulders? In chapter 1 of that, of the book of Joshua, God reminded him in verse 5, I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and be very courageous. Be strong. Be very courageous. Why? Because you're capable yourself? Because you've strengthened yourself? No, because I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in the midst of our tragedies, in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our troubles, in the midst of whatever might be going on in your life, be strengthened, be helped, be uplifted by this thought, this reminder this morning, that God has not forsaken you. Or it may be like Job, where heaven was silent for months, but God never let him take one step by himself. God was always there, even whenever he seemed silent. And God may seem silent to your prayers today, but that doesn't mean he's forsaken you. Because he says, I will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Even when the darkness seemed so dark for David, God was not absent. He was present. And David was encouraged by that. Not only did he remind himself, I'm sure, that God had not forgotten him and that God had not forsaken him, but lastly this morning, I believe that David reminded himself, and we see this unfold in the chapter, that God had not failed him. You know, it would have been very easy to blame God. And many people do that when tragedy comes into their life. God, this is your fault. You allowed it to happen. Well, the second part of that is true. God allows things to happen. But people can blame God. You know, for as men in their time of grief, consumed by their own sorrows, that friendship that they'd had with David, that loyalty that they had sworn to him as their leader and commander, well, that loyalty and that friendship, well, was thrown to the wayside whenever they considered stoning him. They failed him in his time of need. But God didn't. Because God never fails. God had never let David down. God had always been faithful to him. God had never been a disappointment in David's life. You know, I ask a question this morning to you and to myself. Has God ever let us down? Has God ever been unfaithful to us? Have we ever been disappointed in him? Well, if he's never done it in the past, he's certainly not going to do it now. Listen to the hymn writer. He says, he is not a disappointment. He is all in all to me. Savior, sanctifier, keeper, the unchanging Christ is he. He has won my heart's affections, and he helps my every need. He is not a disappointment, for he satisfies indeed. The unchanging Christ is he. And David experienced immediately the faithfulness of his God. when he called to the priest and asked for the ephod, and the ephod was brought, and he inquired of the Lord, Lord, shall we pursue after them? You know, the natural thing was, let's get out there, let's get after them. But David went to God every time. Lord, what do you want me to do? What's the way forward in this circumstance? Because you know best. Show me my path. And God said, go, David. And what did we read in verse 18, verse 19? Everything from great to small was restored back to them. Nothing was failing. David recovered all. And of course, it wasn't David. It was God who recovered all for David. And immediately David experienced the faithfulness. And these men, what a witness to these men, how David remained faithful to his God, faithful to his trust in him, how he turned to him in his hour of need. And these men seen the faithfulness of David's God. What a witness and what a testimony it was. And it's the same for us that in our hour of need, when we cry out to God, when maybe everybody else has forsaken us, or let us down, or doesn't understand, when we, like David, encourage ourselves and strengthen ourselves in our God, others will see, and others will witness through us the faithfulness of God. You know, later on in life, when David was an older man, he wrote Psalm 37. And in that Psalm, verse 23, he says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Now this is what he says. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. David knew the faithfulness, the unfailingness of God in his youth. He experienced it throughout his adulthood and in this event that we're looking at this morning. And as an old man, David said, I have never seen the Lord be unfaithful to his people. Never. And I'm sure that brought great strength and great encouragement to him on that day. As it will to us if we meditate on this thought about our God, that he is always faithful and never disappoints, and one whom we can constantly trust in. You see, the Amalekites, they had reduced David's home, the city of Ziklag, to burning embers. They had captured and taken away his wives and the families of his men. But they couldn't take away his faith, or they couldn't take away his God. No matter what else he lost, he still had God. And for him, whenever things seemed bleakest, and whenever he seemed to stand alone, there was one that stood with him. And that was God. And as a result of that, David was encouraged and David was strengthened. But look what it says there in that last phrase. He was strengthened and he was encouraged in the Lord. You'll see there it's capitals. Of course, you know that that means that it's the word Jehovah. Encouraged himself in Jehovah, his. And that word is Elohim. It's that creative, that might of God. And so this reminds us here in this little phrase of the fact that David had that personal, ongoing relationship with the God of heaven. Not removed from him, but an intimacy of relationship. The Lord, his God. And that personal relationship meant everything to him in his hour of need. Because it was then that God strengthened him. It was then that God encouraged him. because he knew what God was like. Jesus, when he was with the disciples in the upper room, the night that he was betrayed and the night before he was taken out and crucified, he said to the disciples in John 14, "Let not your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." What a word to say to his disciples. Hours before their hour of need. But God gives us that same statement. That word is to us today. And he would say to us, "Let not your heart be troubled. Just believe. Believe in who he is. Believe in what he can do." J.R. Miller has once said, "No matter how dark the night is," and perhaps the night is very dark for you at the moment, "no matter how dark the night is, Christ can put stars in your sky and bring a glorious morning after the darkness." Jesus is the one that never forgets. He is the one that never forsakes. He is the one that never fails. And if our trust is in him this morning, if we know like David that he is our God, then we like David, despite being distressed, despite perhaps tragedy or troubles in our lives, this morning, like David, we can be encouraged, we can be strengthened in the knowledge of who God is and that he is our God. I trust that God's word this morning will be an encouragement and a help to each of us in these days. Amen. We're just going to close our service in a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you this morning for the time that we have been able to spend in your presence. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to us constantly in our lives. But Lord, the greatest blessing is knowing that you are here with us. To know that we have met together in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And Lord, many people today are discouraged, are anxious, are worried, not just about the ongoings of a coronavirus and the restrictions and businesses and employment, but Lord, personal things in lives, our health, our family, or things that aren't for sharing in the public domain, that only a few or maybe only you know about. But Father, we thank you that through Scripture this morning, we can remind ourselves that we can be encouraged and we can be strengthened, not in ourselves or not by looking to other people while we thank you for those blessings in our lives, but Father, by looking to you, by lifting our eyes to you and putting our trust firmly in you. We thank you that you're a God that, Lord, you never forget us. Nor do you ever forsake us. And Lord, up until now, you've never failed. And Lord, you're a God that changes not, so therefore you never will fail. And Lord, we thank you this morning for those of us that are able to say that David's God is my God. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.